We are so blessed with just the atmosphere in this church, the camaraderie, the feel of family, because it's really easy to be part of something, to join something. Some churches are so organized and so set that it's really hard to try to do something new or join something new. And as you can see, we're pretty flexible and appreciate that. Kyle leading us today did a good job, man. Thank you, sir. So I'm going to be jumping around a lot of scriptures. If you want to try to keep up with them, you can. If you want to just jot down the notes and look at them later, you can. Basically, Isaiah 61, where we're going to end back up. And so with that, I'd like to just give a little bit of intro. So can you believe the stuff that's going on right now? Maybe for you young people, it's not that tough. But for me, this kind of blows all my reference points. And about the time I look around for something normal, that's turned upside down too. And then if I watch the news, goodness sake, I definitely have to go and spend some time in prayer and worship. It's just so weird with riots, group vandalism. You know, when you tear something down that's private or public property and you destroy it, that's vandalism. And just because there's 2 or 20 or 200 of you, it's still vandalism. I don't know how we have to try to figure out whether that's legal or not. And don't forget, there's a world pandemic going on. And so in the midst of all the other stuff that's going on, we have that. And some say everything has changed forever. It's bad and getting worse. I don't buy into that. I don't buy into that. That's not what I believe. I say our God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he's got a good plan for each one of us, and it's still unfolding right now. And by the way, when his good plan finishes, it will have a good ending. I promise. If you're a born-again Christian, your end is going to be amazing. It's better than I can describe. It's better than I can imagine. That's what your ending is going to be. So if we're right here and your ending is anywhere in these things, it's going to be absolutely, positively, over the top, amazing. I can prove it scripturally. In Genesis, you know the first line in the song we just finished with? We sing, it talks about graves into gardens. And so I think right now there's a lot of people that feel like there's an area in their life that might be a grave. Like a dream died there, or the end of something they really loved and enjoyed. It's just kind of has ended. And so I just want to compare a story about graves into garden. And Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, I'll just read it for you. Says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is, A, pleasant to the sight, and B, good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I think you guys know the story about the fall and stuff. I just want to highlight on a few things. You know, before anything else happened, before sin happened, before any of this other stuff happened, you've got Adam, who was just made. I mean, he's almost got the sticker still on him. He's just made by God. God literally breathes into his nostrils, brings his life into him, and then, so that Adam's not just sitting around bored, he creates this garden, and everything in the garden was two things. Everything. It says everything was pleasant to look at and good for food. Everything. So there's no weeds in there. There's no thistles in there. There's no ugly, nasty stuff in there. Everything you look at is just like, whoa, whoa, wow. Hey, I haven't tried that one yet. I think I'll try that one today. Because all of it looked good to eat. That's what it says. It looked good and it looked like it was good food. Wow. Well, then the devil comes along. So God would come down. He would talk to Adam and Eve. He talked to Adam in the beginning, and then God creates Eve. And those two are hanging out in the garden, living the good life. By the way, they were tending the garden. They were managing the garden. So there was work before the fall. They were responsible for the garden. God put them in charge of the garden. So this whole thing of work is a curse and work is a sin and work is all this horrible stuff and once I don't have to work, then I'll be happy, that's a lie. God created us to do things to have fulfillment and completeness. Adam and Eve had it before the fall. So God comes down, talks to him, says in the cool of the day, God would come down and talk to him. Do you ever try to imagine that? What was that conversation? It wasn't like, what are you going to do with those things? They're not growing, right? Everything was amazing. So it must have been like, so how are you doing today? As if he didn't know. It's before sin. He knew the answer had to be, awesome. I feel great. What do you want to do, God? Well, let's go look over in this area. Let's just walk over here and check. What else do they talk about? That's what heaven's going to be like. What was happening in that garden is going to happen with you and me and God in heaven. For sure. It's amazing. And so the devil comes and talks to Eve and lies to Eve. And I don't have enough time to unpack all this. But it sure looks like Eve's standing here and Adam's like standing right behind her or right next to her. And the devil shows up and starts lying to her. And Adam just stands there like he's playing games on his cell phone or something. I don't know what he was doing. But he doesn't tell the devil to shut up and quit talking to my wife. Quit lying here. You're not wanted here. I got authority in this garden. I'm in charge of this garden. You get out. Why didn't he say that? All of eternity would have been changed. Instead, devil talks to Eve, lies to Eve, convinces her of something. So then we find Genesis 3:6 says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, that's already what God already told you. This is part the devil lied. And a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. This is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Uh-oh. She also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. What's this guy up to? He doesn't sound like a very powerful leader to me. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Hold on a second. So they knew they were naked because now they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and somehow they already were naked, and God was walking with them. So I don't think naked was a problem. God created them naked. I don't think naked was a problem. I think their shame was a problem. And when you feel ashamed, do you like looking people in the eye? No. Did you ever see a little toddler? I know young parents are here, and there's some toddlers in the church. What I've noticed with my grandkids, when you're trying to potty train them, and they have to do their business, and they know it's wrong, but they're still going to do it in the clothes that they're wearing, they will actually go and, like, stand behind a chair. And pretty soon they come out like, oh, do-do-do, everything's fine. Everybody's like, what in the world is that smell? What you done did? Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? There's, like, we know when we're ashamed and we want to hide it. And I don't think the naked was the problem. I think their shame and their guilt was the problem. And like we see nowadays, when someone feels guilty and ashamed, they don't want to repent, they will go to extravagant means to cover their shame. Have you ever tried to sew two leaves together? I don't know how they did. It says they actually got it to work. That must have been quite a trick, to sew leaves together to cover yourself. So it says, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves some coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord has to call out to him, hey, where are you? As if he didn't know. But he's just trying to help him along in this process of believing a lie and then living out of that lie. They believed the lie that that tree would somehow make them smarter. It would be good for them to live. It'll prosper them. It's going to improve their living. Hello? There's all kinds of lies right now that if you'll do this or stop doing that, it'll make your life better. And if we believe the lie and then we start living our life out of that lie, that's where things just, the wheels fall off the cart, so to speak. And this is what happened to them. They believed the lie. They started living at it. It cost them everything. They end up getting kicked out of the garden. So if there was ever a time when a garden went to be like a grave, it would be this. Do you ever think about, I mean, they lived for like 900 more years. Think about all the stories about, like, when their kids or grandkids or great-grandkids would come up and say, hey, Grandma Eve, would you tell me about the garden? What'd the garden look like? I don't want to talk about it. Right? Or did she say, well, yeah, it was amazing, it was awesome. And then I just had a bad case of stupids, and I kind of got us kicked out. What was Grandma Eve's story? I don't know. But they believed a lie. It changed their whole life, just like us. But God, God's a redeeming God, and he can redeem anything. Even that big of a mistake. I've done some doozies, but I never got kicked out of the garden. How about you guys? We've all made mistakes. Some real big ones. Maybe right now you're living in a mistake going, I don't know how you're going to turn this thing around. Well, let me show you how God turns things around, even like getting kicked out of the garden. Revelation 22, because no matter what our lives are doing, no matter what it seems like the next week's going to be like, or the next month's going to be like, or the next 10 years are going to look like, we know how this thing ends. We're right here. Here's the good ending that God's going to take us to. Listen to this. This is amazing. And it's absolute promise to us. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, what I find absolutely amazing in this story, we went from, if you read in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, it's a description of the Garden of Eden. And in there, you've got all these trees that look great, and they look like they'd be tasty, and they were great for food, except for two different trees. Two trees in there stood out from the whole garden. One was the tree of life. The other one was, and these are single trees, one was the tree of life. One was the tree of wisdom of good and evil. And Eve chose this one to eat. That's where the fall came in. Adam ate it too. They both got kicked out. And the tree of life. What I find interesting, in the beginning with Adam and Eve, there's only one tree. After Christ and after redemption is fulfilled and we're in heaven, count how many trees of life there are. And he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Verse 2, and in the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Well, there must be many trees of the tree of life unless this thing like branches over, or you know what I mean? My limited human thinking can't quite picture what this is. But one thing I'm sure of, this one tree of life that these guys walked by, you know what? If they'd ate the tree of life instead of the tree of wisdom, they would have lived forever and those two would still be in the garden alone. None of us would be born. So what about this thought? If they wouldn't have believed the lie and made a bad choice to live and fell and got kicked out of the garden, if that wouldn't have happened, none of us would be alive. Because they would have been perfect and would not have needed a redeemer. They did need a redeemer, therefore she had to start having kids, and of those kids, Jesus is born. So sometimes, when we believe a lie and we make a bad decision and bad stuff starts happening, our redeeming God can still turn it around for something great for us and the people around us. He's the God that takes graves and turns them into gardens, and we'll see that in the end, Revelation 22, if you want to read that later. How about bones into armies? I bet you guys are pretty familiar with this story, right? If you've been in church very long, you know the story. Ezekiel 37, I think Ezekiel's having a good time, a prayer, or maybe he's just thinking about God or something. But it says, and the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. Oof, yeah. During worship today, guys, worship team, I just want to say awesome. Because there was a couple of times today that it was just like, man, Spirit of the Lord was so thick in this place. It was awesome. Did you guys sense that too? It was wonderful. It was wonderful. So the hand of the Lord comes upon Ezekiel, brings him out in the Spirit of the Lord, and then he gives him this revelation, a spiritual revelation about a spiritual situation, a physical situation. So he gives him some kind of a spiritual understanding, this revelation of something that's going on in the physical. So he shows them, it wasn't pretty. He shows them this huge valley, and it's full of bones. It says there's very many bones, and they're very dry. And then God asks Ezekiel this question. He says, so can this change? Ezekiel's pretty smart. He didn't go, yeah, I think so. If you were to do this. He just goes, God, you know if it can change. And really, there's a lot of stuff going on in our lives. If I ask you, is this going to change? I don't know. No, Either way, is it going to change? I don't know. Only God knows that's going to change. I'm trusting God for this thing. I'm waiting on God for this. If this does move, it's so big and so impossible, it would take God to move it. And that's exactly what Ezekiel says. Lord God, you know. If this is going to change, it's going to be you. And God's response to him is God's response to us today. It really is. He says, well, then you better start speaking some faith. He said a little bit different. He said, prophesy to those dry bones. Do you know prophecy is like one of the most maligned and just, it's just been poisoned in the church by so many lies about prophecy. Because most of us think prophecy is some guy gets up here and he's got some big old long beard and hair and some weirdo hat on, and he says, thus saith the Lord, in 4 weeks and 2 hours, or some crazy thing. Prophecy can be so many different things. Sometimes prophecy does operate through the prophetic gifting, and he speaks a prophetic word that only God would know. For an individual or a whole church, that really, really happens. It happens today. Absolutely. Sometimes, like during worship today, God can move through any one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit and give any one of us a prophetic word for the person next to us, person sitting in the sound room, for Lois as she's saying, God wants you to go and tell her this. Maybe something really simple. To us, it might not even make sense. Just obey and go tell that person that. Sometimes prophecy is this. It's this simple. If you think, well, I don't know if I could prophesy. I don't know if you can. I promise you can. Because you can do it in this setting. Prophecy means to stand up and declare the word of the Lord. No matter what your microphone's doing. Okay? So, to prophesy. Switching over. Quarter after 11 and 11:30. So it's 11:28. Well, somebody's turning something else on. Yeah, there you go. So, back to prophecy. So, what the Lord said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel prophesied of these dry bones. So Ezekiel did. He stood up and he proclaimed the word of the Lord over those bones. And I want to encourage you guys to prophesy over the dry bones in your life. With God, nothing's impossible. With God, all things are possible. What other promises do you have? All things work together for good for those who are called according to God's purpose. What other promises do you have? Think of the dry bones. Think of the dry air in your life. And think of some verses that you can start declaring over that. Prophesy to those dry bones. Because he did, and man, amazing things happened. All of a sudden, I love how it says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together. That must have been creepy. Come on, let's be honest about it. This huge valley of all dry bones, a huge valley, and millions of bones start rattling together. That must have been crazy. It says, they came together rattling, and then the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Wow. There's a process in the prophesying. Because sometimes, for me, sometimes, like I'll hear a good sermon, or I'll have an amazing time in worship. God will show me a new promise in the Word with a different revelation to it. So I'll just get out there, and I'll have this crazy, great time of prayer, and I'll just be going after this thing with faith and promises and the Word of God, and then nothing changes in like 2 days or 3 days, and I forget all about it. Anybody else that ever happened to? I think in the story of the dry bones and turning bones into iron, we just have to remember, even Ezekiel, in a story that God put in the Bible, Ezekiel prophesied faith, did what he was told, and then he had to go and do more of it. So rarely is it one and done.
in the Bible. And so we already looked at graves into gardens and how God turned that thing around, but bones into armies. Let's start speaking to people that used to be in church and aren't. You know, don't talk to them. Talk in the Spirit. God, I just thank you for so-and-so, that there's life coming into them, and no matter what they're against, no matter what they're struggling with, nothing's impossible with you, God. You're going to raise them up for your good call, for your purpose in their life. You're going to plant them in your family. They have a call on their life. They have giftings that we need in this place. Them coming to church is less about them and more about us. We need them in here, Lord. Since 1963, God's been weaving this army together. Wow. It says, and they lived. They didn't just live. They didn't just stand up. It wasn't just a mob. It says they stood up an exceedingly great army. Now, army is trained and has a great purpose. The only reason you have an army is because you already have a purpose for that army. So then you go and get the people and you train them to accomplish that purpose. So when Ezekiel prophesies to a graveyard and it comes out an army, he's talking about us. Because we were just walking around, bags of bones, without purpose, and God saves us, and he trains us. Think all the training you've had in how to trust God, how to forgive people, and 1,000 other things. That's us. We're trained now, an exceedingly great army. Man, he's the one that turns bones into bodies, bones into armies. And the last part of that song is seas into highways. Now, again, I bet most of you are pretty familiar with the seas into highways thing. It's about Moses and several million people leaving Egypt, walking across the desert to go to the promised land, right? We know about that. Moses goes in to Egypt, talks to the leadership there, the Jewish community, says, I'm the man. I'm going to do all these great things. And they're like, excuse me, who are you? And so he shows them a couple things. Then he goes into Pharaoh, does these 10 plagues. Pharaoh finally says, yeah, why don't you go ahead and get out of here, please? Just go. So Moses and the gang leave Egypt, and they're going across the desert. You guys know the story where as they're going across, they run into the Red Sea. And so they're camped out looking at the Red Sea, and there's Pharaoh and his army coming down to extract vengeance on these guys now. And so they're scared to death, and some of them actually start saying, Moses, this was the plan? We couldn't just die in Egypt? You had to bring us all the way through all this hard work so these guys come here and kill us? Wow, dude, not a great plan. And God talks to Moses, says, go ahead and lift up your rod, and he parts the sea, and they're able to go. As they go through, the Egyptians are hot on their tracks. And so the Jewish people come up out of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's people are in the sea, and he tells Moses to hold up his rod again. The sea comes down and wipes out all of Pharaoh, all of his guys, wipes them all out. Do you know the key thing about that victory is the Red Sea stopping them? The Red Sea, the boundary of the Red Sea, fulfilled God's plan in that story. What we see as a boundary and what the people there thought was a huge mistake of Moses, should have went a different way or should have had a plan to get us across there. What they saw as a big mistake was actually God's plan and purpose for the fulfillment of this thing. If you read the story, in Exodus chapter 14, I'll start with verse 1. I'll just read a few verses. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. When they stopped, where they stopped, by the Red Sea, God had already told Moses to stop there before he ever left. So what seemed like bad logistics and poor timing to the people was actually God's perfect plan for all of them. If they wouldn't have stopped, Pharaoh wouldn't have caught up with them. If Pharaoh didn't catch up with them, God couldn't have took Pharaoh off and got him off of their trail. If they're not off their trail, they're not actually walking into the promises of God, they're going to have to fight Pharaoh for how long? Bunch of slaves versus the strongest army on the planet. So stopping at the Red Sea let Pharaoh catch up, so they went across, they caught him in the water, and fulfilled God's plan in their life. How many of us feel like we're bumping up against a wall? Like, I came this far, and this thing is not moving. I don't know. I can't cross the Red Sea. I can't move that boundary. I can't change people's hearts. I can't make my boss think a different way. I can't get a different job just because I want. I can't heal their disease. I can't, right? When you bump into something that big as a Red Sea, I doubt too many of these slaves could swim. They were slaves in the desert. It's not like their owners took them over to their pool and said, hey, I just want to make sure you know how to swim, right? I'll bet they're all scared to death of water, which is, that's never talked about in the Bible, but I'm sure that's what it was. And so they bump into this thing that's impossible and scary. It was actually God's plan for their life for a greater level of victory and freedom later on. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Because in any battle that we fight, there's always three things. There's us, there's the enemy we're fighting, and then there's the terrain. And the terrain is really important. If you've never been in the military, you probably don't ever think about when you see a war or a battle, what that means to the people there. But there's a saying that you always want to have the high ground. Let me just tell you, when we trained, and you got a machine gun on your back and about 20 pounds of ammo and all your other gear, and you're trying to climb up this mountain because they're up at the top of that mountain, that's hard sledding. Let me just tell you that. You expect to have about 80% casualty until you can get up to the top of the mountain and then fight them. So terrain matters. In your life, some of the things that you're bumping into that seems to be slowing you down or stopping you, the terrain, so to speak, is God's plan for your life to bring through greater victory for your life. Just as sure as the Red Sea. Just as sure as the Red Sea. The devil will tell us that the challenges in our life are there because of him. It's part of his evil plan to ruin us. Can I just tell you, the challenges in our life are because of God, and he wants to bring about a greater victory in our life. I'll bet, I'm going to use Hannah and Logan as an example. I'll bet if they hadn't changed this out with their vehicles, that something would have happened to cause more stress and pressure on them. But because they learned the lesson from the stress, that big truck payment was a stress to them. But because they learned it, that has transformed their lives now, and they're going into a greater victory. Many of us are going through struggles. I'll guarantee you there's pressure. There's things that look impossible. Yay, God. Yay, God. If he can take a grave and turn it into a garden, what can he do for us? If he can take dry bones, a valley of dry bones, and turn it into army, what can he do for us? If he can take people and stack them up by the sea just so the enemy can catch them and bring around a great victory, what can he do for us? He turns graves into gardens, bones into armies, and he turns seas into highways. Our God is an amazing God. He's an awesome God. He's our loving Father that has a good plan for us. And so if some of this is confusing, I want you to start at the beginning of retraining your brain, retraining your thinking. Because a lot of us have stinking thinking. I bet all of us have stinking thinking in some areas. And we have to retrain our brain to believe the truth of God and not what we see and feel. And so in retraining, we have to start at the beginning. God's a good God that loves us and has good plans for our lives. No matter what you see, no matter what you're going through, God's a good God. He loves me, and he's got a good plan for my life. Yeah, but God's a good God. He loves me, and he's got a great plan for my life. Okay, Lord, I want to pray for this situation. You have to get back. If everything seems so impossible that you can't even pray about it, you've believed a lie somewhere. If your thinking and behavior doesn't line up with what you see in the Bible, that means you believed a lie. It doesn't mean you're a bad guy or a bad gal. It just means you believed a lie, and you're starting to make decisions from that. So, do you feel like an area of your life has died? Or maybe someone around you, an area in their life has died? Or maybe a loved one has passed? Do you feel like you don't have the strength to go on fighting? Do you feel like you've hit a roadblock in your life? If you say yes to any of those things, I'm telling you, I'm assuring you, he turns graves into gardens, he turns bones into armies, and he turns seas into highways. And I'm going to close with this, and we're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to read Isaiah 61 again. I already read it. We sang a lot of it. But just listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And that verse is so powerful. The acceptable year of the Lord. And this is the day God's going to take vengeance on our enemies, on the devil, and on the tormenting spirits in us. This is the day of God's vengeance because he loves us. He's going to take vengeance on those that hurt us. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion and give them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And here we go for our church. That's for us, and this is for our church. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities. The desolation of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord, and they shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. So I just want to encourage you this week. I know all of us are going through stuff. I know that. I'm going through stuff. All of us are going through stuff. But we know how the story ends. We know how the story ends. We know that our God loves us, that he's for us. We've got the Bible and all of his promises. I just want to encourage us. Don't be intimidated by that Red Sea. That Red Sea is in your life for a purpose, for God's greater victory in your life. Don't be intimidated by that valley of dry bones. Speak to those things. Come to life in Jesus' name. This area of my life that's struggling, you're going to come to life in Jesus' name because I trust my good God's got a good plan for my life. Amen? Is there anyone that would like some personal prayer? Just have me lay hands on you, pray for you. If you want to just come on up, I'll just pray for you right now. And after I get done praying for a few people, I'll close the service. So I just want to invite everybody, if you want prayer, just come on up. I'll pray with you. And if you don't, could you please just keep an open heart right now and just make this an environment for God to touch some people. I thank you for today. I thank you for some wonderful worship. Father, I thank you for the family that's here in this building. Lord, we're the church. We all know that. And Lord, it's days like this after I'm with your family for a couple hours. I'm so encouraged that I'm just so blessed, Lord, to be part of what's going on here in this group of people. And Lord, I ask your blessing on them, on every single one of them, on every man, woman, and child that's in this building right now, on them, on their families, on their homes, even where they work, Lord. I pray that just the prosperity of God, the blessing of God, would be so obvious that the people around them would have to start asking questions. Whatever those questions would be, Lord. And I pray for great boldness in your people to be able to talk truthfully, honestly, and freely about this good God that loves them, that has turned so many things around for them, and is working his good plan in their life today. Would you please bless your flock, Lord? In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen.